In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Let us kneel. Let us offer praise and thanksgiving to the Most Holy Trinity, who has shown us the Virgin Mary, clothed with the sun, the moon beneath her feet, and on her head a mystic crown of 12 stars. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Holy Mary, pray for us. Holy Mother of God,
pray for us.
Holy Virgin of Virgins,
pray for us.
Elect and predestined from all eternity,
pray for us.
Exalted by divine grace above all angels and men,
pray for us.
Bright Star of the Sea,
pray for us.
The great honor of our race,
pray for us.
Most powerful with God,
pray for us.
Vanquisher of heresies, Queen at the right hand of thy Son.
Pray for us.
Mary, dawn that brings the perfect day.
Pray for us.
Mary, our life.
Pray for us.
Mary, our sweetness.
Pray for us.
Mary, our hope.
Pray for us.
O Mary, holy and heavenly infant, thou art the destined mother of our Redeemer and the great mediatress of miserable sinners. We know that thou art so dear to God that he denies thee nothing. O Mary, Queen and Mother of Mercy, who dispensest graces to all who have recourse to thee with so much generosity, because thou art a queen, and with so much love, because thou art our most loving mother. To thee do we present our souls, once cleansed and rendered beautiful in the blood of Christ, but alas, since that time defiled by sin. To thee do we present them, do thou purify them. Obtain for us true conversion. Obtain for us the love of God, perseverance, and heaven. We ask thee for much, but thou hast only to open thy lips and ask thy divine Son. He will deny thee nothing. Pray then, pray, O Mary, for us. Thou wilt certainly obtain all, and we shall with the same certainty obtain the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Today is the 16th Sunday after Pentecost. It is also the feast of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Again, remember, this coming Thursday, September the 12th, is the feast of the Holy Name of Mary. And next Sunday, September the 15th, is the Feast of the Seven Sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. On the eve of September the 8th, Saint Anne prayed until early midnight when she woke her three closest women relatives who were with her and went with them into her oratory and lit the lamps. From a closet, she took a small box containing some relics of the patriarchs of Israel. Then she knelt before her little altar. While she was praying there, a supernatural light began to fill the room. Noticing it, the three women threw themselves on the floor and hid their faces in awe. Soon the dazzling light entirely surrounded Saint Anne, making her invisible. Mary was born at 12 o'clock in the night. She was born pure and stainless, beautiful, radiant, and full of grace. Saint Anne received her, who was her daughter, in her arms, but at the same time the most exquisite treasure of all the universe, inferior only to God and superior to all other creatures. Saint Anne tenderly wrapped her baby in her cloak and pressed her to her heart. With tears of fervent love and joy, she gazed at her daughter, and then raising her eyes to heaven, offered her up to the Most High, praying. O Lord and Creator, with eternal thanks I offer thee this blessed fruit of my womb, which I have received from thy bounty without any merit of mine. But how shall I be able to treat such a child worthily? Saint Anne bathed and wrapped her baby daughter in red and gray swaddling clothes. As the bright mystic light vanished, the three relatives got up and, to their keen surprise and joy, perceived the lovely child in her mother's arms. Then they sang a hymn of praise and thanks to the Lord, while many invisible guardian angels also greeted the tiny Mary with heavenly music. Later, Saint Anne retired to her room and lay down on her bed with her baby in a little cradle next to her. And Saint Joachim was called in. The holy old man knelt beside the bed, deeply moved at the sight of this lovely daughter for which he and his dear wife had waited and suffered for 20 long years. While warm tears flowed freely down his cheeks, he carefully took the baby in his arms and sang a fervent hymn of praise to God. Then, as he tenderly embraced his daughter, put her back in the cradle, he murmured with touching humility and piety, "Now I am ready to die." At the moment of Mary's birth, Almighty God gave to her pure soul a mystical vision of the Blessed Trinity in heaven. And by a miraculous privilege, he endowed her from birth with the full use of reason in all her senses. Thus, like many of the saints, though to a far greater degree, even as an infant, she knew and loved God with all her heart. The Archangel Gabriel was sent to announce the great news of the birth of Mary to all the prophets, patriarchs, and souls in limbo. Upon hearing that at last the mother of the Redeemer was in the world, they rejoiced and praised God for his mercy toward mankind. In all nature, there was at this time an extraordinary movement of joy, and many good people felt an unusual spiritual exaltation without knowing its cause. On the other hand, many evil men and possessed persons felt sorely disturbed. This is an account of the birth of the Blessed Virgin Mary as seen by the great mystics of the Church. With regard to the Nativity of Mary, St. Alphonsus Liguori, Doctor of the Church, teaches the following, quote, "It is indeed right to celebrate with festivity and universal joy the birth of our infant Mary. For she first saw the light of the world as a baby, it is true, in point of age, but great in merit and value. Mary was born a saint, and a great saint." Let's take a few moments this morning to just reflect on the brief explanation that St. Alphonsus Liguori gives us of this feast of the Nativity of the Virgin Mary. The first thing that he emphasized is that Mary was born a saint and a great saint. And this is because even from before her birth, so during the period of 9 months when she was in the womb of her mother, Saint Anne, the Blessed Virgin Mary was already growing in grace because she was cooperating perfectly with the grace that had been given her from the first moment of her existence, her Immaculate Conception. So, what St. Alphonsus Liguori tells us is he tells us, consider the greatness of the first grace with which God enriched her. And then he tells us, consider the greatness of her fidelity in immediately corresponding to this grace. It shouldn't surprise us that in today's Mass, we are praying especially for grace. In the collect prayer, the priest prays, "May thy grace, we beseech thee, O Lord, ever go before us and follow us." And then in the epistle today, that's Ephesians 3. St. Paul doesn't explicitly use the word grace, but that's exactly what he is asking of God the Father, asking, or he's exhorting the Ephesians to pray so that the Father will strengthen them by His Spirit with might unto the inward man. That's praying for God's grace. That's praying for God's help, strength, and grace. The strength of the Holy Ghost, the help of the Holy Ghost. Based on today's feast of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we want to again do what St. Alphonsus Liguori tells us. We particularly want to consider the greatness of the grace that God gave the Blessed Virgin Mary at the moment of her conception, and then also how our Blessed Mother, again, from the moment of her conception, so we're talking for 9 months while she's in her mother's womb before she's born, she is already corresponding perfectly with grace. So she's growing in God's grace. She is, we can say, in a sense, she has a greater fullness of grace at the moment of her birth than when she was conceived, at the moment of her Immaculate Conception. Because already for 9 months, she is corresponding perfectly with God's grace. St. Alphonsus, he makes a beautiful comparison of the great grace that our Blessed Mother received, both at her conception and also at her birth. He compares it to the fleece from the Old Testament, but also quoting Psalm 71, verse 6, which specifically makes reference to that fleece. This is what St. Alphonsus says, quote, "Divine grace did not come into Mary by drops, as in other saints, but like rain on the fleece," Psalm 71 verse 6, "as it was foretold by David. The soul of Mary was like fleece and imbibed the whole shower of grace without losing a drop." Close quote. All of us receive grace from God. The fact that our Blessed Mother received an incredible amount of grace, well, obviously we should be very grateful to God for that. We should also be very grateful to her for cooperating with grace. But this feast of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary should also help us to be more aware of the fact that God has also given us great graces at our birth. Certainly this applies to me, and I think it probably applies to just about everyone here, that there's in particular a very special grace that each one of us received at our birth, even before our baptism, because obviously the great grace that we receive is the grace of baptism. But even before baptism, the very day that we were born, and what's that grace? That we were born to Catholic parents. We were born in a Catholic environment. We were born, we might say, within the Catholic religion. Like I say, this applies to me. I think it applies to just about everyone. Maybe there's an exception. But the point is that this is a great grace. And we have to do our very best to correspond with God's grace. We have to do our very best to always grow in appreciation and love and knowledge of our Catholic religion. This is one reason why, once again, now that I made the announcement about the classes on the faith that I'm giving, both in English and Spanish, I keep encouraging you to come to the classes. Even if you don't come to the classes, make every effort to learn your faith better. It truly is a tragedy. It truly is a throwing away of grace when you have so many Catholics who were born and given the only truth which saves us. But truly tragic that there's so many Catholics that are given the faith on silver platter, and they don't correspond to that grace. They don't value it. They don't appreciate it. And they don't grow in that faith. They don't correspond with that grace. One of the very important ways that we correspond with that grace of being given the Catholic faith from the time that we're born is by learning our faith better and making an effort to learn it better. If you note, there are only three persons whose birthday Holy Mother Church celebrates. And the reason why Holy Mother Church doesn't normally celebrate any other birthdays is because really when we're born in sin. What the church does is she celebrates, if you think about all the saints and all the martyrs, the church is not celebrating their birthdays. The church is celebrating the day of their death, the day of their martyrdom, which in a sense is their real birthday, meaning their real birth in heaven, their birth to eternal life. But what this has to do with is it has to do with grace. Because the saints were born in a state of sin. They were born with original sin. The church doesn't celebrate those days. But those unique souls, three of them, that are born in a state of grace without original sin, those are the three birthdays that Holy Mother Church celebrates during the year. Obviously, the first one and the most important one is Christmas, December the 25th, the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. And then, the next one, today, the birth of the Blessed Virgin Mary, September the 8th. The Blessed Virgin Mary, she is born full of grace. Obviously, completely free from original sin. Never tainted by the stain of original sin. And the third birthday that the church celebrates is a little bit different in that it's St. John the Baptist. His birthday is celebrated on June the 24th. He is born with original sin, but he's sanctified in his mother's womb, in St. Elizabeth's womb. When the Blessed Virgin Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, obviously the Blessed Virgin Mary at that moment is already taking our Savior Jesus Christ with her. He is in her womb. And so our Blessed Lord then sanctifies St. John the Baptist, while he is in the womb, so St. John the Baptist then is born without original sin, hence the church celebrates his birthday. But having said all this, what we want to specifically also remember is God has given us great grace at our birth, especially at our baptism. And he continues to offer his grace to us every single day. And again, we don't receive all of the graces, obviously, that the Blessed Virgin Mary received. We don't receive a lot of the graces that the saints receive, but we receive grace and we are to correspond with that grace. The fact that some souls receive more grace at their birth or throughout their lives, that's part of the mystery of God's grace. Think of the parable of the talents where one receives five talents, another receives two, and then one receives one. They don't all receive the same, but all of them receive something. And each one is expected to correspond to the grace that they have been given. Listen to St. Alphonsus Liguori. This is how he expresses how Mary began to correspond with grace even before she was born. So we're talking about the 9 months that baby Mary, the infant Mary, was in her mother's womb. St. Alphonsus Liguori says, from the first moment of her existence, Mary loved God with all her strength and continued thus to love him always during the whole of the 9 months preceding her birth, during which she never ceased for a moment to unite herself more and more closely with God by fervent acts of love. She was already free from original sin and hence was exempt from every earthly affection and from every opposition on the part of the senses, which could in any way have hindered her from always advancing more and more in divine love. Hence her beautiful soul, free from every impediment, never lingered, but always flew towards God, always loved Him, and always love towards Him. This brief teaching by St. Alphonsus Liguori also highlights for us the fact that what most hinders us from cooperating with God's grace are all the different impediments in our souls. Attachment to sin, especially sin and the effects of sin, and attachment to sin. But even just attachment to the things of the earth and the concupiscence of our senses, that we're led astray so often to what is easier and what is more comfortable because of the effects of original sin. Here St. Alphonsus Liguori is explaining, Mary's soul did not have any of these impediments. It was completely free from original sin. And so she was able to correspond perfectly with God's grace. What we should strive to do is first and foremost, fight against sin. Reject sin. Because more than anything else, sin and attachment to sin is what's preventing us from cooperating with God's grace. And all of us are sinners. All of us have sinned. And so this is another reason, a very important reason why we must do penance. Because by doing penance, we are cleansing our soul from that attachment to sin and the effects of sin that remain. We must do penance if we're going to be able to correspond more faithfully with God's grace. The church prays the following today. She prays this in her prayer of Vespers. That's the prayer in the evening. The church prays, quote, "Let us celebrate with joy the birthday of Blessed Mary, that she may intercede for us with our Lord Jesus Christ." The Blessed Virgin Mary was born to bring us our Savior Jesus Christ. That's why the church often calls her the dawn. She's the dawn and Christ is the perfect day, or the sun, S-U-N, because Mary announces the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ, which is also why today's feast is one of great joy, because it is a sign and a promise and a guarantee that the Savior of the world is coming. The Blessed Virgin Mary is always interceding for us to take us to her Son and to bring her Son to us. She has this fullness of grace precisely so she can most effectively intercede on our behalf. But again, the whole point of this is that we have to grow in our devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary and to grow in our confidence in her and always turn to her. We'll conclude by listening to this exhortation by St. John Hughes. It's beautiful. And he's telling us, turn to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Grow in your devotion to her. I strongly urge all of you, grow in your devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. All of us can improve in this. Not too long ago, I was talking to one of the faithful and I asked the person, I said, do you know of prayers and devotions to Our Lady of Sorrows? And the person told me, no, Father. All of us, given how important the title of Our Lady of Sorrows is and how important this is to who the Blessed Virgin Mary is, how central this also is to her Immaculate Heart, her immaculate and sorrowful heart, her heart pierced with a sword. All of us should practice devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows. And if we're not familiar with any of the devotions to Our Lady of Sorrows, that's most certainly an example of something I would say, encourage you, grow in your devotion to Our Lady of Sorrows. This is what St. John Eudes then says. St. John Eudes urges all of the faithful, especially those bound by chains of sin or those suffering some temporal pain or affliction, to turn to Mary. He urges all of the faithful to turn to Mary. And again, especially those that are suffering, again, bound by sin or suffering from a temporal pain or affliction. Whatever that might be, sickness, whatever pain, you know, the pain of, many times the faithful talk to me of, you know, children that have gone astray and have left the church. Done the complete opposite of cooperating with God's grace. Left the one true church, left the one true faith, are not practicing the one true faith. But whatever the particular need is, St. John Eudes is urging the faithful to turn to Mary. And he says, quote, "Why do you wait? Why hesitate to come? Come promptly and cast yourselves at her feet, for never has she rejected anyone, and she will not begin with you. It is your mother, all-powerful in heaven and on earth. It is your mother who holds in her hands all the treasures of her Son, Jesus Christ. It is your mother, all heart and all love for you, whose bounty takes a singular contentment in aiding those who invoke her humbly and with filial confidence. Come, she will receive you and treat you as her children." Close quote. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.